Hey, Justin, got Tom Luganville here from ESPN. Just was walked by and said if we had a few minutes, want to visit with him. Let's do it. Here, I got Tom. Go ahead and put that on. You good there?
Let's yep.
See. We've got Justin Acri down at the Sun Belt Conference
a
few days, and we're based out of Little Rock. And,
cool.
Yeah, we were just talking. I was telling Justin, Tom, just about all the emphasis being on Manziel as the story down here. Your thoughts, obviously, being with ESPN, and that being a lot of the focal point. I heard you talk with Paul Feinbaum about the topic as well.
Well, I think that, and I actually referenced Alabama, I think the most undervalued, for whatever reason not talked about, most important thing about Alabama is they know how to deal with success. The bigger the spotlight becomes, the bigger the target, the more they rise to the occasion. They understand the accountability factor that goes along with playing well and winning, and that it doesn't get easier, it gets harder. What we're seeing, and we're going to see it with Ole Miss. We're probably going to see it a little bit with Vanderbilt. Certainly seeing it right now with Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M are programs that haven't had that history of sustained success. So now all of a sudden, the last 8 or 9 months, everybody's patting them on the back, telling them how great they are. One of the most difficult things to do in coaching, in my opinion, is to keep the focus and the preparation of 18 to 22-year-olds on the task at hand while there are so many outward distractions that can take away from that that will affect, ultimately, whether you'll win or lose. And so, you know, I think with Johnny Manziel, it's almost like that right on the new actor that comes out has that big hit, and he's 21 years old, or the new rock band has that big hit. Next thing you know, the thing explodes, and they don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the maturity yet to deal with the repercussions of all of that. And when you make certain decisions and your actions get out there, it can permeate the rest of your team and your program and have the opposite effect of what it was intended.
Fishing with Tom Luganville here from ESPN. Tom, your thoughts on Brett Bielema, thoughts on maybe some of the athletes at Arkansas as well?
Well, you know, I think one of the interesting things about Brett Bielema when he got hired at Arkansas is that he hired Jim Chaney. And Jim Chaney is a pro-style, run the football, a lot of West Coast instruments in his offense, but very like-minded with Brett Bielema in terms of the philosophical identity of what they want their offense to be. You know, I think that defensively, there are some components at Arkansas that are back that are very, very positive. The question for me with Arkansas, and it's always been this way, I think, with this program, is it a program that can consistently win 8-9 games a year? Yes. Can they get to that 10-win double-digit win season? Yes. Are they ever going to be able to lure the caliber of player in their offensive and defensive front too deep across the board that can beat an LSU or an Alabama year in and year out? Because if you look at Arkansas over the course of time, they may have had tremendous success, but then look at who their losses were to. They were to teams that were superior in that area of the football team. And so the focus, natural, they're going to be able to run the football. I think they really, I had them last year against Auburn in a game they actually won 5 weeks into the year. And they had some new young weapons at receiver that I think Jim Chaney is going to be excited about as the offensive coordinator. Obviously, Alex Collins is a huge signee, fits the mold of what they want to be. So will there be improvement? Absolutely. Are they going to try and really run the football and try and limit their mistakes? They're going to be a little bit more inexperienced, obviously, at quarterback. I believe they certainly will. But this may be one of the better defensive teams we've seen from Arkansas recently. So it'll be interesting to see just the type of strides that they're capable of making.
Justin, you got anything for Tom? Maybe not. Tom Luganville from ESPN. We may have lost Justin down in New Orleans. This is my first SEC Media Days. We've had other people here at the station for years do this. But is it nowadays when you come to this, it's basically don't mess up, don't say anything wrong? I think Steve Spurrier may be a guy that doesn't care about what he says, but everybody else is sort of protect your words, protect your turf.
Well, I think so. You know, the whole adage of coach speak is certainly going to come out. You know, coaches don't want to divulge too much information. They are also very careful about what they say, because once you say it and it's out there, somebody can always point back to it. Mm-hmm. And there are so many unknowns going into a season. You think you have a pulse of your team. You like the chemistry. You like the makeup. Maybe you've had a really strong off-season program. But until that ball gets kicked off, you really don't know. You're making a projection. You have some definitives and guys that you've played with. You know what you're going to get. Are they progressing? Are they getting better? How are your young people coming about? The one thing that I think every coach is always concerned about, and you'll hear some coaches speak about it this week, is the year-to-year chemistry of a football team. And Nick Saban is really good about pointing this out, and I think he's right. Chemistry can't be bottled. It can't be manufactured. It can't be transferred from one locker room to next year's locker room. Each team has their own individual chemistry. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's average. Sometimes it can be a coach-killing or a team-killing type of chemistry that's very negative. But until the season starts, you don't know what that chemistry is because it's different for each and every year. And I think that's the one thing that all the coaches here are searching for is what type of team are we in the locker room? Where is our leadership coming from? They think they might know it, think they might have a guy here and there. I think you'll hear a lot of coaches talking about that this week.
We're visiting with Tom Luganville from ESPN. Surprise team maybe nobody's looking at that might jump up and surprise a few folks this year.
Well, I really think that South Carolina not only was the best team in the East the last 3 years, unfortunately they didn't have Georgia's schedule. You know, Georgia didn't have to play Arkansas, LSU, or Alabama 2 years in a row. But they took care of business against Georgia. I think South Carolina is the team to beat. I know that's not a surprise team. Everybody's pointing at Georgia right now. Florida was my team to beat last year in the East, and I really liked them because I liked their schedule. Florida might have the most difficult schedule in all of college football. So I'm not as high on them, although I still think they're going to be a good football team. I don't know if there's necessarily a surprise team. Is Auburn going to be greatly improved? Yeah, they're going to be improved. Are they good enough yet to beat the best? No. And I think Gus Malzahn and his staff realize that. But it's going to be fun to watch Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. And that opening game is interesting because at the point that those two programs are at, it's almost a must-win game
right
in the conference in week one.
Well, I think the other story there is with Ole Miss. With Ole Miss is the recruiting class, obviously. That I think that's going to be a hot topic today with you, Freeze. A lot of people say, how did you do it? You know,
yeah.
How did you pull that off? In this league, to be ranked that high from a program that normally doesn't rank that high was a huge statement.
Well, it was a huge statement. And what a lot of people don't realize, too, is they had a lot of factors going their way. You come into the season with no expectation level. You had been abysmal within the conference. And then out of nowhere, you have a bowl qualifying season, which nobody expected. That bowl game was played in Birmingham. So you're right smack dab in the middle of your recruiting pool. The positive momentum continues to snowball. And then, you know, there were a lot of players. You know, obviously Robert Kimdichie, he's got a brother on the team. Laquan Treadwell, the receiver out of Illinois. There's a player on Ole Miss's team that was a former high school teammate. There are a lot of ties there that maybe the layman fan doesn't know about that make sense, more sense than people maybe think. But the one thing I'll say about it, and Hugh Freeze knows this as well as anybody, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder because now a bar has been set, and they're going to have to sustain those types of recruiting classes for 2 to 3 to 4 years to build the type of depth, particularly in the trenches, that you're going to have to knock off an LSU, knock off an Alabama. And a lot of those guys are going to be expected to play as true freshmen, whether they're ready or not.
I know you're busy, Tom. We'll let you go. Where can we see you? When can we see you over the next 3 days?
We'll be on ESPNU all day long with all the coverage. We'll be doing some stuff with SportsCenter, with College Football Live, Joe Tessitore, Brock Huard and David Pollack, and then myself and Dari Noka. We'll have all the coverage on ESPNU all day long for the next 3 days, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Really appreciate you stopping by, Tom.
You
thanks
bet.
So much.
Thank you.
Big Baby, are we? Did we lose?
Just sorry, buddy.
Oh, yeah, they're
sorry.
Good.
I actually have 10:30.
Thank you, Tom.